Another installment of the overtime program. As promised, we have Apple Valley Eagles head coach Jerry Hayes on board with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Eagle program, how things are shaking down for his squad. Of course, he had that great state tournament run, and we'll get into that as well. Jerry, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Pete.
You bet. Let's first get right into it. You know, you've got a team that was young last year, had some solid senior leadership. Were you a little bit, I don't like the word surprised, but was it a year earlier than you would have expected for that group to get through to the state tournament?
Well, you know, I think so. When you have that many sophomores in the lineup, you know, that we did, and the freshmen in the lineup, you know, I think you're always excited when they succeed. You know, the track record that group had, that age group, was a pretty strong track record, but still they're young, and when you look at the section that we came out of, you know, the regular season we had wasn't spectacular by any stretch, or about 500 team, but then, you know, things got well, and they got better as they went along, as the year went along, and so we were peaking at the right time, which was obvious, and so hopefully we were able to carry some of that into this year.
You know, you hear coaches say pretty much everywhere, you know, we just want to work to get better through the season. What areas do you think the Eagles really improved on to make the difference to win that section title?
Well, I think they just got tougher. You know, I think as youth hockey players coming up, things, I don't want to say came easy for them, but, you know, they had a lot of success. And I think they, you know, like many young hockey players, they assume that success at one level automatically is going to provide success at the next level. And when you're making the jump from youth hockey to high school hockey, high school you're competing against three age groups, sometimes four age groups, you know, freshmen through seniors.
Sure.
Youth, you're talking about two age groups. And so you're competing against kids you've never competed against for the most part. And, you know, sometimes young hockey players kind of forget that. And they forget there's a big difference between a 15, 16-year-old and a 17, 18-year-old as far as maturity, strength, intensity, consistency. You know, are all factors that play with high school hockey, and that was something that took a while for a lot of our guys to get used to.
You know, everybody talks about your forwards, and we'll clearly get into them in a bit, but I think he got some pretty good D-men. Will you touch on them a little bit?
Yeah, sure. You know, we have, you know, Derek Smith is a, you know, three-year letter winner. We'll be coming into his third year now. He's played 2 years, freshman, sophomore, and certainly just a marquee. But he's not a guy that's going to get you, you know, 50 points. I mean, he's just a stay-at-home, shutdown defenseman. Feel very confident matching him up against anybody's top lines. Anthony Leong is, you know, pound for pound, one of the toughest guys in the league. But, you know, unfortunately, he's only about 5'3". But he's just a tough little guy, and he's got great feet, great hips, works hard, you know, just plays within himself. And then we have some question marks. We lost a defenseman, Vince Pedry. His family moved, and so he relocated. And so, you know, we're going to have to fill some holes there. But, you know, we think we have some guys that are able to do that and step in and play.
And then you're touching on guys stepping in, you know, the success of this group as Peewees and Bantams. Obviously, there's more than just one or two people. So you're going to have people to work with there. How about, of course, Fasching and Michelson? Tell us what they're like to coach.
Well, they're both, you know, great kids. I mean, and I think that translates. I mean, you get so many. We've had some very skilled hockey players come through the program, and, you know, they're not always, you know, in it for the team aspect of it. You know, sometimes they come through with their own agenda. And the nice thing about Hudson and AJ is they both really are about the team. You know, they're not happy if we don't win. And so, you know, they put aside kind of their own individual stuff to make sure the team wins. And I think that's a true mark of a competitor. Both, you know, work hard to get better every day. You know, they both have been exposed to a lot of different coaches and a lot of different premier teams and different teams throughout the summer and USA Festival, things like that. But they have a great attitude as far as listening to what our coaching staff is trying to instill upon them. And they work hard to get, you know, better every day. You know, no one gets after it harder. Off ice and what we're doing, you know, in the summer programs, conditioning. You know, Hudson, geez, I mean, he's a kid who's burning the candle at three different ends between soccer and hockey. You know, here he's playing in the elite league. He's playing on the number one ranked soccer team, and he's scoring a lot of goals for them. And balance between the two of them, plus he's a top notch student. AJ, you know, same thing. He's working a lot of different angles right now too. And so, I mean, just the character that they bring to the rink. Really is good for, you know, not only our current group of high school players, but even for our, you know, Squirts and Pee-wees and Bams to have as role models.
You know, even though the candle is being burnt a little bit there for Hudson and his soccer play, how much do you think that helps the player, though? I mean, just from a different perspective to a sport and being able to do more than just one thing.
Well, I think that's, I mean, the biggest shame I think we have of today's athlete, high school athletes, is we get so many guys that just get programmed into one sport, and they put all their eggs in one basket, and they're not athletes. They might be hockey players, they might be football players, they might be soccer players, but they're not athletes. And I think the biggest thing is you'll see is you know, kids just not being athletes. And I think that is the biggest key for Hudson. I mean, Hudson is just a great athlete. I mean, he's also a very good tennis player. He was on, I believe, on our state section tennis team last spring as well. And so he's just a great athlete. AJ's a fantastic golfer. I still remember, you know, talking to Grant Stainbrook, who was recruiting some Mike Lundin for Maine, and one of the first questions he asked was, "Well, what else does he do? You know, what? You know, I don't want just the hockey player. We want the athlete." And Grant's, you know, one of the better recruiters in the country, and it just gives you an idea. A lot of colleges are looking for athletes, and I think the message isn't sent to our young players. You know, they think they have to play AAA, they have to play your own hockey, and there's a fear factor, and the, you know, the AAAs of the world and the other, you know, hockey, private hockey enterprises have this fear factor that they put on parents that if you, you know, don't play hockey your own, you're going to be passed up. And I think nothing can be farther from the truth. And I think as high school coaches, we really have to remind parents that, you know, let the kid be a kid, let him be an athlete, participate in other sports. You know, I have always said the best hockey players I've had have been guys that are multi-sport athletes, because they are true athletes and not just hockey players.
Well, I think not only from a feet to hand to vision to mind as far as the athlete's concerned, I think other sports can also open up your mind as far as being a headstrong, tough mental athlete as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And you have to learn to react to different situations and read and react situations. And a lot of times we can put cones down on a rink and tell kids where to go and they'll do it. But just having sense about the athletic field, whether it's a field or a rink or a court, is not easy. And so it's something that you have to continue practice and work on. And if you're just worrying about where the cone is or where the blue line is, sometimes you lose that sense about, you know, what's the ebb and flow of a particular contest and what's the intensity of a particular contest. I think you hit it on the head as far as, you know, I think guys need to have that exposure to other arenas to make them better.
You know, speaking of ebbs and flows within the game, you guys played very well in the state tournament, and I'm thinking to that 2-0 loss to Edina. That was a good hockey game. You know, how hard is it to not just let those horses just run wild? I mean, what's the perfect vision of how your team would play a game? What are you looking for out of your team?
Well, you know, I think in a game like Edina, I mean, you know they're going to come at you hard. And so it's, you know, I think with high school athletics, you know, it's about guys working together, and I think it's eliminating mistakes, you know, as much as possible. I mean, in high school hockey, there's going to be kids who make mistakes. You just try to limit those mistakes, and you put kids in positions, best chances to win. You know, in our perfect game, you know, we have guys that are all working, you know, and it's cliche, you know, but you have guys that are all with a common vision of how they're going to play the game, and they have to be disciplined within the system, but also free to make, you know, make some opportunities to try to create some opportunities. And it's easy to say, tough to accomplish. You know, you have to be guys who are focused. And you can tell going in the locker room beforehand if guys are focused, you know, before they go out for the game, if they're focused. And luckily at state tournament, we had guys who were very focused on what the job at hand was. They just made a couple more plays than we did. But I think disciplined in what you do well and limiting your own mistakes, because you know they're going to happen. And when the other team makes a mistake, hopefully you take advantage of it. You know, so many people talk about lucks and bounces, and we just didn't get the bounces. Well, if you analyze the tape of a game, everybody gets a bounce. It's what do you do when you get that bounce? Do you score? When the puck hops mm-hmm. over the defenseman's stick and you get a breakaway, do you score on that? Then people say, oh, it's a lucky bounce. Well, if you don't score, no one ever talks about that bounce after the game. And so being able to capitalize on other teams' mistakes when they happen, and limit your own mistakes is, you know, for us a key factor.
You know, you talked about the focus in the locker room. Great game against Blaine to open up the state tournament. Did the youth experience, do you think, from these kids playing at the tournaments play over too?
Yeah, you know, I I think, well, you know, it was funny because, you know, we went to the pre-tournament banquet, and, you know, and listening to Dave, you know, talk about his team, you know, our guys were going, holy cow, these guys must be awesome, because we didn't have much experience with Blaine, and so, you know, and we kind of chuckled about that, you know, talking about how tight-knit the Blaine group was, and, you know, we even mentioned ourselves, you know, we're pretty tight-knit, and, you know, it's kind of, it was a nice role to be in, you know, as a four seed coming into the state tournament. We had some young guys, you know, and we tried to keep it light going into that Blaine game, and it was really a nice place to be going into that game. You know, no one really was predicting us to do well, but we knew within ourselves that we had a pretty good team in that locker room, and I think people forget the amount of games that we lost to injury with guys like AJ or you know, Vince Pedry at the time, or some other guys. Our goaltending hadn't been sharp throughout the year and got better at the end, so we felt really good about our team, and we felt really good that no one else really felt good about our team, and so we kind of used that as motivation as well.
That's going to be different this year. How do you think the kids are going to handle that?
Well, it will be different, you know, and I think the kids, you know, that's, you know, the $100,000 question. You know, we know we have teams like Egan, you know, that are licking their chops to play us again. You know, they've had a very good rivalry with us coming up through the years. You know, East Ridge is kind of on the map now. Creighton and Woodbury are always going to be there when it comes to the section. And so certainly being to the state tournament puts the target squarely on your back. And we understand that as coaches, how the players respond to that. They have to, you know, realize that last year was last year, and it's, you know, what have you done for me lately, society? And guys have to kind of, you know, forget about that. And as coaches, we have to communicate that. That's well and good, and we can watch the video about last year all we want, but that's not going to do anything for us coming into this year. But, you know, that is going to be, you know, our challenge as a coaching staff to, you know, make sure we're better than we were last year, because if we're as good as we were last year, we're not going to be good enough because other teams got better.
That's why sometimes year two of this type of situation is the most challenging coaching scenario for coaches, I think, and that's why they win the coach of the year. So our eyes are going to be firmly entrenched on your squad. I don't think you have much to worry about. Tell us a little bit about the new South Suburban Conference.
Well, you know, we're excited about, you know, it's different. You know, certainly, I personally hate to lose Eden Prairie. I think that type of competition in all our sports makes us better. You know, Lee's a tremendous coach over there. His teams have always been, you know, what they are. And, you know, I think losing that team, you know, I think hurts the conference. But at the same time, I look at, you know, the new rivalries, you know, and some new teams and the focus for our district, you know, with Egan and Rosemont and Eastview for us. You know, it made sense geographically. We don't lose too much other than the loss of Eden Prairie, which, you know, hurts. You know, Chaska, you know, I've liked the coaches over at Chaska for a while, so it's going to be weird not seeing them. And Prior Lake, something new, and I don't know what they're going to have this year. You know, I haven't looked at them too much, but I know 4 or 5 years down the line, you know, their numbers are very large, and so I'd expect them to be a large force in the years to come. And so it's exciting, it's new. You know, and talking to our fall sport coaches, there's not really a huge difference. You know, if you look at the boys' state soccer tournament, I think there's 3 teams out of the South Suburban that are in the state tournament. I think there's a couple on the girls' side. So I think athletically, we're not going to lose much. You know, I think it hurts losing EP, but we're still scheduling them non-conference, and we're going to play them until Lee tells me to quit playing us. And so we'll try to keep those rivalries.
Yeah, I don't think Lee's going to say that anytime soon. He always likes to share his schedule with me and says, "Hey, yep, you got Apple Valley again." So I think that's, I call it the coach voice. I love it. If he's listening, complete compliment. So that's good stuff. And, you know, speaking of your non-conference schedule, we got time for 2 more questions. Duluth East and you are squaring off this year. It's sort of like, you know, one of those another anniversary dates of that big 5 overtime game. We're planning some special things for that one. Does that ever linger when you two play each other in the halls when that game's talked about?
Well, absolutely, because, you know, I grew up in Duluth, and so I was actually living down here at the time, coaching down here. But I remember watching the game, and, you know, I was actually cheering for Apple Valley because I went to Duluth Central, and we hated it. But, you know, certainly we'll talk about it, you know, with the coaches. You know, Chris Sikich, who's my assistant, played on the 96 team. And so, you know, we'll certainly still talk about that. And some of the East coaching staff in the past has been part of that team as well. And so they'll actually talk before the game and, you know, hey, that that goal was in. No, it wasn't, you know, to talk about the one that, you know, rang off the crossbar maybe. And so
replay.
we still bring that up, you know, every time we play him. And East has been a great game for us to keep. And I know Mike and I have really enjoyed, you know, the competition that we've had. Unfortunately, the last few years we've kind of been on the losing end of it. But, you know, hopefully we can turn that around at some point. And so it's exciting. You know, hopefully we get a good crowd to come down and watch East. They're coming down midweek this year. It's a 6 o'clock game, but we still hope we can get a good crowd. But it's two great hockey teams that play similar styles. You know, both of us want to skate, and both of us, you know, want to create some offense. And so, you know, it's always been a fun matchup. But we certainly, I still, you know, have a place in my heart for that game. I know Chris Sikic, my assistant coach, still has a place in his heart for that game, and I'm sure Mike does as well.
Finally, I'm sure you'll have your ears pinned back for that one. We're going to be there with the Fox hockey stuff, so that's going to be good stuff. But who would be your dark horse for this upcoming season?
I think Egan is very good. I think a lot of people forget that Egan was right there for our conference championship last year, and they were like 24-1 after the regular season. Another team I like that people aren't really talking a lot about, which really surprised me, is Wayzata. You know, Wayzata, with the amount of talent that they have coming back. I know everyone's talking about Tonka and Edina and Eden Prairie from the west side over there, but, you know, I wouldn't be shocked. And I know Carl's probably disappointed with me for mentioning this, but, you know, we have them coming down in December. But, you know, I really like the makeup of that Wayzata team. You know, last year we went up there and they just, you know, we didn't really get anything accomplished against them. And so I guess if I were, I would say Egan and Wayzata would be both teams that I would say are really formidable and really are going to make a mark on this year's season.
Well, we can't wait to get it going. Jerry, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy day to join us here on Overtime. And it's great stuff. Looking forward to the season. Jerry Hayes from the Apple Valley Eagles. Great stuff right here on the Overtime Radio Network. That's going to do it for this edition. I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He stands like a statue, becomes part of the machine. Feeling all the bumpers, always plays clean. Plays by intuition. It counts as ball. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He's a pinball.